After a six-month investigation into Coke Industries, Bloomberg Markets Magazine has discovered that the company improperly acquired contracts around the world, at least in the past. Coke Industries, of course, is one of the world's largest privately held company, and its two founders are also incredibly politically influential at this point with their cash that they give to various organizations. Then one other thing that the Bloomberg Markets Magazine uncovered is that the Coke industry sold millions of dollars in petrochemical materials to Iran. Joining us now, the authors of the article, David Evidence and Aslan Loader, both senior writers at Bloomberg Markets Magazine. And David, this is a little bit of a convoluted story, so I want to kind of take a timeline here. It looks as though in terms of the improper payments, this is going back all the way to 2002, correct?
That's correct.
And these were bribes that were paid to officials in order to get contracts?
Well, they're not characterized by the court that way. They're characterized basically as improper payments. It's a translation from the French, so we're trying to be as accurate as we can here. The payments were discovered back in 2008. One of the company's European units hired Ludmila Igorova, as to be the new compliance and ethics officer. And after she went to a compliance meeting back in Wichita, she was dispatched to the south of France, where she was told there were some problems with improper salary arrangements with some employees. And so she wasn't sent down there to look into these improper payments, but she said she uncovered them, these practices, within just a few days, and that they were not hidden at all. And she immediately notified her superiors back in Wichita. And by September of that year, the independent investigation, or the investigation that Coke did that was to see what the extent of the problem was, determined that there had been payments in six countries dating back for 6 years to 2002 that had been authorized by the business director of the company's Coke Leach affiliate in France. And we know about all this because of a filing after he was fired. He sued the company for improper dismissal, and the dismissal letter became part of the public record in France in a court filing. And the stunning language in that filing, the company says, quote, "those activities constitute violations of criminal law," unquote.
Right. We're speaking with David Evans, who's a senior writer at Bloomberg Markets Magazine. But David, I got to come back with you with Coke, the Coke industry's response to this. So they say the company, I'm quoting here, learned lessons from past mistakes. This is included in your article in Bloomberg Markets, that they fired the employees and sales agents involved, and they've since then strengthened internal controls.
Right. Well, that is the response that they gave us. The court found that they actually awarded more than 150,000 euros to this employee, and the court's reasoning was that he had not acted alone, and that other managers, including Christoph Ender, the president of Coke Leach for Europe and Asia, allowed these business practices to continue without doing due diligence. And we report that Christoph Ender is still employed at the home office by Coke Industries in Wichita.
That's David Evans, senior writer at Bloomberg Markets Magazine. You can read there the piece that he wrote along with Aslan Loader that's in the magazine, the result of a six-month investigation, and Aslan joins us as well. Aslan, you focused a lot of your reporting, thanks for joining us, on what happened between Coke Industries and Iran. Explain what you discovered here.
Well, what we discovered is that Coke Industries, through their Coke Glitch subsidiaries in Italy and Germany, were doing business with Iran. One of the plants that they sold equipment to included a state-owned methanol plant that's now the largest methanol plant in the world.
And again, let me refer to the Coke Industries response to this. They say that there were improper sales to Iran, and Coke says that they didn't break any laws. They say at the time that this happened, U.S. law allowed foreign subsidiaries to engage in trade, even in countries that were subject to trade sanctions.
In 1995, President Bill Clinton banned U.S. trade with Iran, but one of the loopholes, if you will, of that law has always been that foreign companies, including U.S. Foreign subsidiaries of U.S. companies, could continue to do business with Iran.
And so that they didn't break any laws here?
As Avi Joris said, we quoted in our piece, to determine whether or not they broke a law, someone who has more access than we would have to investigate it. I can't really determine whether they broke a law or not. They say they didn't, and we saw evidence in their documents that they had coordinated with U.S. attorneys to try to make sure that the program and the sales didn't involve U.S. employees or U.S.-made goods.
We're speaking with Ajalan Loader. She and David Evans wrote the piece in Bloomberg Markets magazines about Koch Industries. And Aja, let me just ask you, it appears in your piece, it's just a very, very long, exhaustively reported piece, that you're laying out kind of a pattern of behavior on Koch Industries. And don't let me put words in your mouth, but explain to me what you call the Koch method.
The Koch method refers to a particular method back in the 1980s when Koch had quite a large oil gathering business, including oil gathering on Indian lands and other federal lands. And basically what this was a way of mismeasuring the oil that they took out of people's tanks so that they were paying for less than what they actually took. And they would do this by adjusting temperature or adjusting the impurity measurements. And a Senate hearing in 1989 in a report that came out that year concluded that this was a systematic form of mismeasurement. And in a later civil trial, they were found to have made something about 24,000 false claims relating to their purchasing of oil. And employees called that the Koch method.
And is this current? I mean, we're talking about a lot of dates in history.
No, that's quite a few years ago. That was from, like I said, a 1989 Senate report. And the civil case in that settled
this may
in
not
2001.
This may not be the current corporate culture.
That particular Koch method, like I said, the case settled in 2001.
Okay, that's Ajalan Loader, senior writer at Bloomberg Markets Magazine. Also, David Evans, senior writer at the same magazine. They wrote this piece together, the result of a six-month investigation into Koch Industries, one of the largest privately held companies in the world. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.